Glory to God. Well, let's look on your sheet. We've had a series going for some time on and off. We've had some other things in there, but we're going to touch on some things today concerning the Built Together series, go a little bit further. All those messages are online. They'd be a blessing to you. We're talking about the church and our position in the body of Christ. But let's read a few of these scriptures that we've read before we go on. Ephesians 2:19 through 22. Now therefore you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. The Williams translation of verse 22 says, and you yourselves in union with him. Notice that we're in union with him. That's number one, that we have a relationship with him. And then in fellowship with one another are being built up into a dwelling for God through the Spirit. God is doing something on this earth. He's doing something in the body of Christ. We are all part of that body that's being built up. He's doing something. He's the master builder. On the foundation of Jesus Christ, Jesus is the head of the church, and he's building something up. He's building us individually. Did you know God is building you? He's building us each individual, one step at a time. He doesn't just throw it up in one day and we're done. No, just like we know very well in the natural, you watch a child. If you have children, you know that they don't learn everything overnight. Amen. If you have kids, you know that well. Sometimes they need to be reminded. Maybe they need to be reminded again. And maybe again. But they catch on, and they learn. And then you look back, and wow, they're further. You look back, and all of a sudden, they've grown. They can do things, and they're doing things. You remember them, they couldn't do so long ago. But they grew. They're being built up. And that's the same with us. We may be a little older. You know, we're not children anymore, per se. But related to God, we're little children. He's been around forever, and we've been around for a few decades. So we really understand very little, which is all the more reason just to trust him. I don't care, you know, so-called experts on this earth, not knocking anybody, but I don't care how many degrees they have behind their name. Compared to him, that's very little. They don't know much, right? So never put your trust in men. We can receive from men. God can use men. They can give you information and it bears witness on the inside. You say, yeah, that's what I need to do. But don't look to men to replace his position. Men are not God. I don't care how educated they are. I'm not knocking education. If God has called you to do something, get the education you need. Do what he tells you to do. Be equipped. But don't put it in the place of him. Okay? If he tells you to do something and you're not sure about it, doesn't seem like it lines up with all the conventional wisdom. Well, how many times has the conventional wisdom failed just in the natural? Yeah. People that go against the conventional wisdom are a lot of times the pioneers that change whole industries, right? Yes. Well, nobody can do that. Watch me. And then, here, a whole other industry is birthed because somebody said, no, I think I can do that. And that's just in the natural. Well, how much more if God tells you to do something? And you're like, well, I'm not sure. Well, trust him because he knows some things that we don't know. Amen? He's smarter than we are. So he's building us up into a spiritual house. And he knows where he wants us. And it's not an accident where he wants us. We have a specific place. We have a specific fitted place. And he knows how to fit each of us together. And if we'll just listen to him, it will all be well. Ephesians 4:16. From whom the whole body, joined and knit together, this is from Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working, by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. We're just reviewing a little bit. You know, it's been a few weeks since we've talked about this. and for those that weren't here. But it says, from the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies. We have a supply. We have something we bring to the table. We need to know that. Don't ever buy the lie that I don't have anything, I'm just showing up, whatever. It doesn't matter. Nobody really cares there. Well, no. Number one, be in the place that God told you to be, and then take your place that He told you to take. That He told you to take. And that's what we're going to get into today. But what joint and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share. Notice that. Does its share. Not everybody. You know, you're not supposed to do everybody's job. You're not supposed to do nothing. You're supposed to do your share. What's the share? Well, Jesus is the head of the church. He knows. So we listen to Him. Do what He told you to do. It's not up to you. Did you hear me? It's not up to us. We don't set people in positions. Just get this straight. I mean, me as a pastor, I'm an under-shepherd to the chief shepherd. What I endeavor to do is get people where the chief shepherd wants to put them. Okay? It's not me putting people in positions. If I'm doing my job right, it's working with Him to put the people in positions and places and get them fitted where they're going to flourish and where the chief shepherd is saying they should be over here. If you understand that, wherever you go, whatever you do, you won't look at man then. And you won't think they're your problem if you're not in the place you think you ought to be. Don't ever get caught up in man, because you can start pointing at a person and say, well, if this person wasn't here, they won't let me do this. You're off. You're off. At that point, you're off. If you're blaming a man, if you're looking at a man and you're thinking somehow what God has called you to do is being hindered because of a man, you're wrong. You're wrong. And that's a tool of the devil, because he gets your eyes on man and starts getting you to say, yeah, this person, look, at they're not doing this. They're not noticing in them me. They're not seeing my ministry. Don't they know? That's wrong. If your trust is in God, then you can sit there and go, I'm just going to be faithful. I'm going to do what I'm called to do. And God, you want me there? You know how to get that done. I'll trust you. Do we see that with Joseph, with Daniel, David? Did they push and shove and try to get in there? No, God just made a way. God made a way. And God will make a way if we're just faithful and we're doing what He called us to do. What He called us to do. Not what we called ourselves to do. Not what somebody else told you could do. What He is telling us we should do. Notice that verse, Ephesians 4:16 in the New Living Translation. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly. Amen. Do you want to fit together perfectly, or just kind of, you know, look like a 3-year-old puzzle together? You know what I mean? Just kind of smashed together. Look, Daddy, isn't that pretty? Yeah, it's pretty, honey. Sometimes I think God looks at us and we're so proud of what we've done. He's like, it's pretty, Jim. Yeah, you'll learn a few things. Sometimes we think we're so smart. No, He's going, you know, just look at me. Trust me, I'll put it together perfectly. Perfectly. You know, when it's not perfect, you know it's not Him. It's know that we've got in there somewhere and messed it up. Because what He does is always good and perfect. It's right. And He knows how to, you know, shave off the edges and just make it look good. You know, I used to, I did trim carpentry for a while in a summer. You know, my dad built houses, worked for one of his subs one summer. Did trim carpentry, never framed. My brothers did some framing and stuff. But if you're familiar with building at all, so, you know, trim is like this doesn't have base, but, you know, all this trim, the wood that goes around here in the windows makes it look nice. You know, you put up a frame and you got all these holes and you put the window in, right? And there's these gaps and all that. Well, the trim comes along and makes that look nice. You know, you put it on there and it looks nice and clean and perfect. Well, God knows how to do that. You know, you may think, I'm never going to get what I need to do. There's too many rough edges. There's too much junk. He knows how to just come up and put you up. If you let Him do what He needs to do. Now, this is, you know, masonry. It's different than wood when you have these gaps or anything. But there's gaps in there. You know, they have a rough cut hole for the window. They put the window in there, and they need something to cover it up. Well, you put this trim there, and it looks like it all fits together. But there's a big gaping hole there if you were to see under there. But nobody sees that. God is building us up, and He knows where the rough edges are, but you're not done yet. Sometimes we'll say, man, this is never going to look good. Look at all this rough stuff in my life. He's not done yet. He's not done. He knows how to make it, you know, sew it up, tack this on, tack that, and He put a nice coat of paint on it. Man, you should see. Have you seen the pictures? We were looking at the 5th anniversary again. The pictures of when this place was put up, it was a gymboree. The colors in here were so ugly. This was like bright yellow, and these were purple shades, and just, no, but we put some more paint on it, slapped the paint, you know, the shades had to be different, but it looks nice. Well, God knows how to do that with our lives, and He knows how to do that with His body. You say, you look at something, go, I don't know how they're ever going to do that. Don't worry about it. It's not your job. Look to Him and say, God, You're fitting us in and putting, wow, I didn't know they had that in them. Well, He did. So we just look to Him. Let Him shine it up, put it together, and fit it together perfectly as each part does its own special work. So He said He makes the whole body fit together perfectly as each part does its own special work. It helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. Notice that, full of love. And we touched on the part about every part doing its part, and then that affects the other parts and actually causes them to grow and be healthy and full of love. But notice the body. I want to focus on that part, and we're going to go into some things in the time we have remaining. Being full of love. As you're doing this, you need to be motivated by love, which is by Him. There is no room for selfish ambition or you in the body of Christ being bigger than everybody else. There is a lot of that in the body of Christ. People say, well, I have my ministry and I'm in here and I want to be seen. We're not supposed to seek that. We're supposed to do what He told us to do, period, and just be content. Whatever He tells us to do, whatever the part is that He's fitting us in there, we need to say, yes, sir, okay, that's what I'm going to do. So many times people are jostling around trying to make themselves seen, trying to prove their quote-unquote ministry, trying to get into a place where they're really trying to move themselves and promote themselves instead of letting God be the promoter. And that's why there are a lot of problems in people's lives personally, because if you promote yourself and somebody happens to get you into a place that you shouldn't be in, and you're pushing, and you get through, you may not be able to handle it, and you'll fall. You don't want to be there. But if God promotes you, He's no fool. He's perfect. He will promote you when you're ready, and not before. That means He puts you in a place you're ready and well able to do it. Now, you may not feel like it at that time. And I've seen this, getting ahead of myself a little bit, but where you feel, you can feel like, I remember this one man from South Africa, I read this in a book, he said, it stuck with me. It's like when you're early on certain things, on going to maybe a new assignment, wherever you think, I can do this. Oh, or before you actually get assigned, you're thinking, put me there, I can do it, I can do it. No, no problem, I'll do that. And then just, you know, don't get there. And finally, like he was saying, his situation, you know, 5 years passed, and now it's opening up. And by this time, he's learned some things and realized where he's really at. And at that point, he's going, I'm not ready. Don't put me there, I'm not ready. Because he knows some stuff. So many times, people that are novices or haven't been around are like, well, I can do it. Put me in, coach, I can do it. Shut up, you don't know what you're doing yet. No, but I can do it, I know. And if once you learn some things, you realize you may be going through a door and realize, I'm not feeling like I can do this, but if God's promoting you, you're ready. Whether you feel like it or not, and at that point, your trust needs to be in Him. You're saying, okay, I don't know if I can do this, but if this, you're telling me to do this, you're promoting me, I can do it. That's a good place to be. But you don't want to get in the place before you're ready. Destruction will follow. You see people fall. That wasn't God. God did not put them in a place where they couldn't handle. Somehow, whoever failed, it wasn't him. Somebody was pushing. Somebody was trying to get someplace. Somebody didn't listen to the promptings. You ever see somebody fall in a high-profile way, and we've seen it? God was faithful. Something was going on. They didn't listen. They didn't heed instruction. They pushed out too fast. It might have looked good in the natural, but something was being laid for them. We don't want to be there. Person we know at Rhema, he's one of the instructors, he said his prayer was to God, God, don't let me get out far enough where I will fall and bring disgrace on you and basically destroy my life. I don't ever, I'm content to go slow. Because I want to be where I can always handle it, always step up. Not to say you're not going to be stretched, but you're ready. Amen. Let's turn over to Philippians 2, get into this a little bit. It's easy to preach today. You guys are pulling well. Philippians 2, 1. And you say, what does that have to do with it? Why don't you just throw the words out there? You can't do that. It's as the Lord gives us unction. Philippians 2, verse 1. This is not a speech. Some people think it's a speech. It's not a speech. Therefore, everybody there? Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Amen? We could just stop right there. Notice how he's telling the Philippians here to behave. Fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. You that have children, or when you were a child, you probably heard your parents say that. You know, it is such a blessing when your children get along and are quiet and playing well, isn't it? Oh, man. You want to bless mommy and daddy. And you're just sitting there and all treating each other nice and getting along, especially like on a long trip, drive. That can make all the difference between the family getting there in one piece and having a good evening and it just being a train wreck. Amen? Amen. I see some knowing smiles. Yeah, I mean, when you look back and you don't hear a bunch of ruckus and you're just like, what? Wow, they're just playing. Wow, that is a blessing. And we'll tell our kids, you guys are playing together so well right now. That is a blessing. Well, that's what he's basically saying. He's saying, fulfill my joy. Fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. You know that blesses God when we act like that? When we get along with each other, we're not jostling and saying, well, you did this and you did that, and what does that person get that for? I don't know, I wanted that. If we just get together and just like one another and love one another, God is pleased. That blesses him. That blesses him. A place in Proverbs, it says that, you know, it's one of those where it says six things that God abhors and seven he can't stand. I can't remember the actual verse, but one of them is sowing discord among brethren is put in the same area as shedding innocent blood. That means having an abortion or doing something, killing somebody, murder is on the same league in God's eyes with sowing discord among brethren. That's serious. When we get along, we are shunning that, and we are pleasing him, and we just pave the way for us, our lives, to just go forward. You do not want to be involved with sowing discord. You don't want to be involved with strife. Amen? Verse 3, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Nothing done through selfish ambition or conceit. What do those have to do with? You're talking about self-centeredness and me. I want me to be seen. I want, you know, how about me? What about me? And that's not the way Jesus was. That's not the way the head of the church is setting the tone. And that's not how we ought to be when we're getting put into a place. It's not about us. Like somebody put it, there are no big I's and little U's in the body of Christ. We ought to just be, you know, whatever God. Because we ought to be in the place that God has told us to be. If God has put us in a place and equipped us, and we're all in that place, then what do we have to brag about or to feel conceited about? And if somebody else is doing their job, does anybody have the right to look at them and go, what are you doing? What, that's all you're doing? If the Lord asked them to be there, and we're saying that, we're saying he doesn't know what he's doing. We're questioning him. We don't want to be like that. It says, let each of you look out not only for your own interests, but also for the interests of others. That's a body, that's a family atmosphere. You know we're a family. The body of Christ is a family. This ought to be your extended family. You heard some of the things this morning. This ought to be your extended family that you can rely on, that you can go to when you need something. When you need, you're feeling a little down, and the thoughts are coming, you know, into your mind, you ought to be able to call somebody up and say, tell me again how I'm healed. Yeah. Tell me again what the Word says about healing. I need to hear that. That's all you should have to hear at that point, to know that this person just needs to be encouraged and built up. They don't have to go through all the symptoms. You don't have to glorify all that. You don't have to say, you know, this is going wrong and this is going wrong, and they go on for 15, 20 minutes, and then by the time you get here and all that, you may not have any faith. I mean, they're sucking it right out of you. No, you don't need to tell somebody all the circumstance to have them encourage you. You can have code. Ring, ring, ring. They answer the phone. Hey, how you doing? How you doing? Okay. Hey, tell me again how God meets all my needs. Can you tell me that again? That's all you should need to hear. How God meets your needs. Let me tell you how God meets your needs. Let me tell you what the Bible says. And they should just start telling you what? Their opinion? No. The Scripture. What the Word says. We don't need to lay it all out. Some people say, well, you're being fake. No, I'm not going to glorify what the devil's doing. I'm not saying you ignore circumstance. You don't ignore circumstance. But you don't always need to share it either. You don't need to share all the stuff that the devil's doing. Or that the enemies get foothold. You don't have to say that. There's a difference. Anyway. Notice, let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. Verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Do we want to be like him?
Yes.
Okay. He says, verse 6. Who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God. So like in the margin of my Bible, it says, did not consider something to be held on to be equal. Like robbery, like you can imagine taking something. He did not consider it robbery or something to be held on to. What he's saying is he did not consider being equal with God something he had to hold on to and just, you know, keep it there. He said, I'm willing to be made a servant. I'm willing to humble myself. He put aside his glory to come and serve us. Who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery or something to be held on to be equal with God, but he made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. Now, you want to talk about humbling yourself. You want to talk about, you know, putting yourself in a position of servanthood. Jesus did it. He is the ultimate example. You know, people want to think, well, that job's below me. You know how far doing what Jesus did to being God of the universe, to coming in the form of a child, a human being, child, and walking on this earth, you know how far removed that is from being part of the Godhead to this? There's no comparison. You can't come up with an example. That's much farther than going from the, you know, the president to the mailroom. There's not even a comparison there. Amen? He laid it all down. And so we have no way, no right, no ground to say, well, you know, that's beneath me. What? Not in the church. In fact, when you serve Him, you'll be willing to do anything. And you should be willing to do anything. This person, well-known minister now, travels all over. Used to be at Rhema. And he started out, when he came over, he was cleaning the toilets. He was an associate where he started out at a different church. That's part of what he did, is he cleaned the toilets. Well, that's not, I don't do that. I have a ministry. Yeah, he does have a ministry today. He's well known. He didn't start there. Well, I'm not willing to do that. Well, probably not going to be qualified for a lot of things either. See, so many people do not realize what they do today has everything to do with where they'll be tomorrow. Yeah. Everything. Well, you don't understand. I have this ministry and I got big things. Yeah, well, Jesus, head of the universe, came and saved you and I, you and me. That's our pattern. We ought to be willing to say, hey, what do you need? What? You know, when Brother Hagin died at his funeral, we were there. It was, you know, Rhema, the auditorium holds 4,500 people. But you talking about when Brother Hagin went by, he passed on, he's an internationally known figure. People came from all over the world to be at that funeral. Kenneth Copeland was out there. Andrew Womack was out there. I mean, he affected the world. So you have a logistical situation where all these people are descending on Tulsa, Oklahoma. And they need help. They're putting this thing together. Well, Pastor Hagin, he told how there's people that pastors of 2,000-member congregation were directing traffic. I mean, they said, whatever you need, I'm here. Whatever you want me to do. I think they called up and said, whatever you need. You want me to direct traffic? I don't care. I think they had that covered for the normal people. But the point is, the people were willing to do whatever. They weren't saying, I'm coming in. I want to be on the front row. I want to be in the service. After all, it's Brother Hagin. I'm somebody. They said, whatever you need. Pastors, 2,000-member congregation, flying in. So I don't even know. I don't care if I'm not in there. Whatever you need to help. I know you need help. Amen? In the kingdom of God, those are the type of people that get promoted. And so many times that we people have it out of line. So anyway, praise God. We'll wrap this up. We'll pick this up next time. But let's see. Who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. Let's just read the rest of this passage. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God has also highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth, that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Do you notice that? He said, being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death. He became obedient to the point of death. Even the death of the cross, the highest power in the universe. He's part of the Godhead, came and humbled himself, let men spit on him, curse him, beat him, his creation. He humbled himself. You think he ought to, you know, from just a rank situation, he should never have been there. But he did that for you and I. And being found in appearance of man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name. So he put himself under. He did what God the Father told him to do. And God exalted him above every name. This is how the kingdom of God works. Did you hear me? There are no shortcuts to what God has called you to do. God has a place for you, but you won't start at the end. And our job is just to be faithful wherever He calls us to do. Say, God, what? Not my will, but your will be done. Where do you want me? What do you want me to do? I'm here. You want me to park cars? You want me to clean the toilets? You want me to help with the toddlers? You want me to do children's music? What is it that you want me to do? And I'll do that. And I know you have a purpose, and I know you'll develop me, and I'll just do what you want me to do. Whatever it is, God, use me. Lord, use me. Some people say that, oh, God, I'll just do whatever. And they, you know, feel like Lord is leading them to sign up for something. They sign up. They do that time after time, and you know, they go and just kind of getting weary of it, and people call on them to do this and call on them to do that, and you know, week in and week out, and pretty soon they just go, God, I just feel like I'm being used. Just feel like I'm being used in this. Well, isn't that what you signed up for? What do you think, it's all glory? So many people have a completely, I know I'm going, you know, we had a lot of stuff going on this morning. We're going a little longer. I don't want to shortchange you, though. We'll finish up here. So many people have such a warped view of working for God. Well, if you're doing what God has, you know, and they're thinking crowds and being in front of people, that's what most people, if you're really. I'm telling you, there's so much different than that. You got to be willing to be the servant. That Jesus was the servant and he's the chief. There's nobody higher than him. He was the servant. Now he's the chief. Well, you are the servant of all. When you are a servant when you're in the ministry. Ministry means service. Do you know that? Ministry, it's not some religious cliche. It means to serve. It's not, hey. You know, was watching Pastor Hagin the other night from camp meeting. And at the end, you know, he was talking about speaking in tongues for a portion of the service. And he had people come down that hadn't spoken in tongues. And he laid hands on them. And, you know, usually in the normal services, just, you know, a lot of times they won't take time to do that now. They're a bigger church and people go back and get prayed for. But in this service he was going through each one and praying for them. And if they were having trouble, they, you know, so it's camp meeting, so there's a lot of people come in from all parts, pastors and whatever. And he was calling a lot of the pastors and their wives that were there speaking that week and saying, you come up, help this person get to speak. You come up. You know, Mark, you come up, you help him. Well, if they can't do that, see, that's where they started. If you can't get somebody, it's not just about, well, hey, I'm one of the main speakers. What, you can't have somebody else do that? No. No, 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 you. I know you know how to get somebody filled with the Spirit. Get up here. You, come up here. And it was just like all these people that were like the guest ministers or whatever, they're just up there with somebody they don't know one-on-one. Didn't Jesus do that? Did he always just, well, no, no. Where's my entourage? I'm not talking to you. Where's my boat? I'm going out here so I can get away from you. No, he would take time for the one person. Yes, he preached 1,000, but he took time for one person. Right? Amen. If this is our, if we come our way with one thing today, it's what the position that God has for us, it ought to be whatever he wants, and we're willing to do anything. That is the pathway to the kingdom of God. Now, I know in the world you might elbow and knock people and cut people behind the back and, you know, knock people around and cheat people, try to get on top, but those people will never stay and their life will pay for it somewhere. But God's way is you serve. You come up and God, whatever you want me to do, and you let him promote. And he will. And not out of selfish ambition, but out of love. Walking in love with other people. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank God. let's just look at this and we'll close. Luke, on your sheet. Luke 22:41 at the top of the back. Says, and he was withdrawn from them about a stone's throw, and he knelt down and prayed, saying, Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. Let your eyes rest on it. I know we've heard it. Jesus, he said, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. Then an angel appeared to him from heaven, strengthening him, and being in agony, prayed more earnestly. Then his sweat became like great drops of blood falling to the ground. Notice, he said, look, I don't want to do this. Do you think he knew what was coming for him? His flesh didn't want to do it. Your flesh may not always want to do what God has in front of you. What he's asking you to do. If anybody tells you it's all going to be easy, if you follow God, you always get to do exactly what you want to do and it just cater to your flesh, it's not true. Now, am I saying God's just going to put you through the ringer? No. But if this is good enough for him, and he's the master, and he's the head of the church, don't think if he asks you to do something, you're going to have to do it by faith and walk by faith and to be developed by faith. And because he said it, you're going to do it. And because he wants you to do it, you're going to do it. And he will develop you, and you will walk into some things eventually. But it doesn't happen overnight. And it doesn't always just line up with what you think you want to do. It has to do with submitting your will to his, not looking out for what you think you want or your selfish ambition or but me, but not me, but you, God. If you want me to do it, I'll do it. I'm laying down my life for you. That is the pathway to promotion in the kingdom of God. That's the pathway to finding the place that he has for you in this body and in the body as a whole. Amen. Hallelujah.